And we should try to get the people inside, because if they miss the beginning, they won't get the end. So, you know, Mike was telling me that we are going to be doing the Acts of the Apostle in the study. So I won't be speaking on the Acts, but I just want us to go to one verse, because I'm going to start off in the beginning and I'm going to end with that verse. So that's why I said you don't want to miss this. Chapter 1 of Acts. And let me paraphrase. You know, Bible's full of questions. As Brother Bill said, I was in the book of Malachi, but it was Malachi. But there's always questions. And they were questioning God if God loved them. Why do you love us? You polluted my altar. Why? We haven't polluted the altar. It's full of questions. Bible is full of questions. And sometimes when we take questions and then extract out of that, we get a lot of truth. And here in Acts of the Apostle is a beautiful question where the Lord is risen and He is meeting with people. And there is evidence that He was meeting a lot of people. He met with the disciples. And here we see a question in verse 6. When therefore they had come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Must be an exciting period to see the risen Lord and say, wow, now You are the Messiah. You've declared it. Are You going to restore the kingdom? And the Lord's answer was, it's not for you to know the time or the seasons. I want us to just keep that in the back of your mind, that question and that answer. Because what I'm going to be speaking about is relationships. And the Lord wanted to let them know that, yes, I am going to restore the kingdom to Israel. Yeah, God has a relationship with Israel. They are His people. But before that, He's going to do something. And we're going to find that out. But the question of relationship is very important in Scripture. And look at the relationship of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Perfect relationship. You will never find a flaw in that relationship. When God, before He created everything for us, for His glory, He created that beautiful cherub. And I want us to go to Isaiah chapter 14. And the angels had a special relationship with the Creator. They were created to serve Him. And just as there was a relationship between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, His creation of angels had a purpose. And then what happened? We read in Isaiah that in verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? A beautiful cherub. For thou hast in thy heart said, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. And then in verse 14, The second half of 14 says, I will be like the Most High. See, he ruined that relationship. He was the most beautiful creation, most beautiful angel, and he took down with him other fallen angels. Now look at creation itself, and we go to Genesis. And we see in creation, God formed the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars. He got the fishes of the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts of the field to serve his purpose. And they existed for his glory. And there was something lacking. What was that? It was lacking an intelligent being. One which would be given a will to choose. And so he created man. So that that intelligent being would worship him, would have fellowship with him, and would serve him. Those are the ingredients of relationships. And we see that in Genesis chapter 3. That man fell. Man became disobedient. And we read in verse 8 of Genesis that when Adam and Eve fell, they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And you know, in the original Hebrew, walking back and forth, forward and backward. How can you hear somebody walking? They heard him walking back and forth. Where art thou, Adam? Can you imagine? It echoed through that garden. Walking back and forth. And they heard him walking. Was he angry? Was he disappointed? He wanted a relationship. And he had it. In the cool of the day, Adam would be with the Lord. And they had communion. That relationship was broken. First question in Scripture. Where art thou, Adam? You know, later on we see the coat of skins. We see a picture of redemption. We see example of Abel presenting an acceptable sacrifice. We see Enoch demonstrating the relationship by walking with the Lord for 300 years. We see Abraham, a friend of God. Moses, the servant of God. David, a man of God's heart. You know, God always wants a relationship. And when we think of relationships, we think of this very first aspect of relationship, a broken relationship. And that's given to us in the very first question in the Bible. And I hope that there's no one here who has that broken relationship. Because if there is a broken relationship, then we need to come to that second question, which is given to us in the opening of the New Testament. A seeking relationship. That very first question in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Those wise men were seeking. And where did they come from? They came from the east. And do you know what happened to Adam and Eve? They were cast eastward. And the cherubim stood in the front, in that garden, guarding the tree of life with the sword. If man has to come back, has to come back from the east. So a beautiful picture. That these three wise men were coming because they had seen a star. They were seekers, searching for an answer, searching for God, searching for a Messiah. You know, God seeks too. God sought Abraham, and he took him out of Ur. He had a purpose for Abraham. That out of that nation he would reveal himself. So sometimes God seeks. God sought out Moses. David. He sent Samuel. Samuel asked Jesse, "Where are your sons? Show me the youngest one. I want to anoint him." God seeks, but man is seeking too. And that's the balance of Scripture. Nicodemus was searching. Came to Jesus and says, "How can I have eternal life?" Zacchaeus was seeking. He went up to the trees. He was a short guy. God didn't put him up on the tree. He went himself looking for God. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Now these were Persians. And these Persians, I believe, they were part of a sect called Zoroastrians. They always looked at astronomy. Some of them migrated to India. So we know about their religion. They worshipped the sun, the stars. And then they go in chapter. Look at Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 2, we see these people going to Jerusalem because they suddenly lost that star for a while, and they thought maybe they'll go to Herod. And they go to Herod. And they ask Herod. Herod calls the scribes, and all the scribes come along. And what do the scribes do with Herod? They said, yeah, we know about this. It's written in the Bible. It's written in Micah. In Bethlehem of Judah. Thou Bethlehem, though thou be the least amongst Judah, out of thee shall come a governor, the ruler of Israel. I'm sure the scribes, it's not recorded here in Scripture, but I'm sure the scribes must have told Herod, "Hey, in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, Balaam prophesied, 'I shall see him, but not nigh, there shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel.'" Herod must be perplexed. But he didn't want to accept it. And so we read in verse 9, "They heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. And they went and worshipped the young child as the star stood above the place where our Lord was. With exceeding joy, they come and bring treasures for the Messiah. A seeking relationship. And you know, in Ephesians, we read it this morning, verse 7 says, in whom, that's in Christ, we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And this judicial forgiveness leads us, leads those who are seeking to come to an everlasting relationship. Broken relationship, seeking relationship, an everlasting relationship. And we see that in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, you see a man of authority. You see a man who knew all the books. He was breathing, in the first verse, Saul. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest in Jerusalem, got the permission, got the decree to go out and capture and persecute those who believed in the Messiah. This man thought he had a relationship with the God of the Old Testament. He knew the law. This man knew all about the rituals, knew all about the ceremonies, knew all about the Feast of Jehovah. But he was seeking God in the wrong place. He was seeking God in the law. On the road to Damascus, a light from heaven interrupted his journey. And he fell prostrate on the ground. And he heard a voice, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he trembled. And he reacted and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Trembling, astonished, this powerful Jew of the Jew was blinded. But he was humbled and he was forgiven. What a wonderful Lord who had compassion on such a man, such a vile man, a man who had so much hatred towards the Christians. God revealed himself and he became a changed man. Lord, what will thou have me to do? What a beautiful question. Even the people who were with him were speechless. And you know, Paul has later on in 1 Corinthians, he has declared this experience very vividly. And he says, I received this in chapter 15. And it's beautiful that 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is read at many funerals because it's all about resurrection. And in that verse 2, he says, by which also you are saved. He's talking about what he's preaching. What I preached unto you, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. He's talking about his experience on the road to Damascus. And then he goes on to say that he was seen of me, this Christ. One application I love to point out in this experience of Saul on the road to Damascus is when Ananias goes to him. You know, it must have been very difficult for Ananias, very difficult, to know that this man used to persecute Jews, that if he had revealed who he was, he would have been persecuted by Saul. But we see when he goes there, in verse 17, he says, "Brother Saul, brother Saul." Many times in the assemblies, we sometimes with fellow believers, when somebody is fallen, somebody is hurt, we has walked away from the Lord, is backslidden, we are so quick to discipline. But you know, Scripture is all about restoration. The emphasis is on restoration. And this man, Ananias, commanded by God to go and meet this man. He says, "Were you telling me to meet this fellow?" And he goes and meets him and says, "Brother Saul." Broken relationship, seeking relationship, everlasting relationship. Now we go to Acts chapter 5. There is a half-hearted relationship. Two people, Ananias and Sapphira. And there's a question there. All these relationships, it starts off with a question. And the question is right there with Peter. Verse 3. But Peter said, "Ananias, Ananias, why had Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep part of the price of the land?" You know, let's challenge ourselves. Maybe we wouldn't do something like this, but maybe we would. As sometimes we keep part of our devotion aside. It's not always about riches. There's something in our thinking, in our thought process, in our heart, which is half-hearted. Something we put aside. But you know, the Holy Spirit indwells in us. And it quenches the Holy Spirit if we are not totally devoted to our Lord Jesus Christ in our relationship. If we are hard-hearted with material things or with our own heart and with our own thinking, we quench the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit will not allow you to continue willfully to commit such actions. And sin will find you out. Broken relationship, seeking relationship, everlasting relationship, half-hearted relationship. Let's turn to John chapter 18. We all know this. denying relationship. Verse 17, chapter 18. You know, there are three denials which the Lord predicted to Peter. And there are three different people. First one is the damsel. She is at the door. She keeps the door to the world. And Peter goes out outside the world, and he's warming himself in the fire of the world. We do that sometimes, don't we? We go outside. She says, "Art thou also one of this man's disciple?" Peter says, "I am not." Verse 25. They said, the world sometimes will recognize us. You walk into the bar if you're a born-again believer and they'll recognize you. What are you doing here? Art thou also one of his disciples? I am not. And of all the things in verse 26, the kinsmen of the servant who were Peter cut off the ear in that garden, of all the people. Did I not see you in the garden with him? Verse 26. See how scripture has all these questions? I mean, it must have hit Peter. And then right after the third denial, there's a cry of that rooster. An alarm clock. You know, in villages in India, they don't have alarm clocks. It's a rooster who wakes up the people at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning. Peter woke up. And he went out and cried his heart out to the cry of that rooster. What have I done? Go to John chapter 21. Here we see the example that the denying relationship turns into a yielded relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord is not done with Peter. You know, the moment you get saved, you are in the palm of his hand. There on the Sea of Tiberias, Jesus shows himself. In verse 4, Jesus from the shore, guess what he says? He asks a question. Children, have you any meat? He's there on the shore and they are there in the boat and he's questioning them. Do you have any fish? And if you look at the scripture there, right near verse 4, you know, you have John who remembered that. If you go back, and for the sake of time, in Luke chapter 5, verse 4, you know, when they first were called out to discipleship, they were toiling. They're fishing. And they had toiled all night, and there was no fish. And the Lord said, cast your nets on. And it broke, and they got so much fish. And guess who was there? John, James, the son of Zebedee. And Peter, they were all partners in the fishing business. And John, you remember that. And so John looks at Peter and says, it's the Lord. Three times, the Lord asked Peter, lovest thou me? You know, it's challenging that question, lovest thou me? It's a question. Do you desire to love me? Question one. Do you really want to love me? Number three, do you really need to love me? Three times Peter says, Lord, you know my heart. I love you. And you know, the Lord knows your heart. If you really desire to love him, if you really desire to want to love him, and you really have the need to love him. Sometimes you may have all the things in the world. You're a very happy person. You may not have any need to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is going hunky-dory for you. But the Lord wants your love. And that's what the challenge is. Broken relationship, seeking relationship, everlasting relationship, half-hearted relationship, denying relationship, and a loving relationship, yielded relationship. I think yielded is a better word than a loving relationship. Yielded. Yielded to the Lord Jesus. And finally, we come to Acts where we were before. And what was the question in Acts? Lord, when are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? The time wasn't then. It's 2018 and the time isn't now. We don't know the season when he is going to have the marriage relationship of the bride and the bridegroom. Because he told those disciples after he was risen, you don't need to know the time and the season, because what I am going to do is, you Israelites have rejected me, I am going to bring a bride for my son. And that bride is the church. And you look in chapter 19 of Revelation, is the answer to that question. When will you restore? He restores it. He sure does. But in chapter 19 of Revelation, we have, and that's where I'm going to end this morning, is that beautiful verse. If we had more time, we would have read several verses in chapter 19 of all the hallelujahs and all the joy, the voices of the multitudes. Let us be glad, verse 7, and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And look at that description of that bride. And to her was granted that she would be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Again, we ask ourselves this morning, do we have a broken relationship? A seeking relationship? An everlasting relationship? A half-hearted relationship? A denying relationship, or a loving relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ? Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee that this morning, the questions portrayed in Scripture should prick each one of us to challenge ourselves this morning, to yield our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, because one day he is going to come for his bride, and we will be with him forever and ever. We thank thee for the beautiful questions in Scripture. Indeed, they point to us, challenging questions, and point to us the truth of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God our Father, we thank thee for this time you've given to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.